This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. On a mountain in Galilee, something happened that has reverberated down through the centuries, and Dr. Wyatt will share the truth that all authority has been given to Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Dennis. This is a special passage of Scripture with a great deal of theological content. Sharon reads from the 28th chapter of Matthew, and I pray we will be able to touch on most of it. But it is a great way to close this year.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were hesitant. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age."
Thank you, Sharon, very much. This brief narrative Sharon has just read from Matthew's Gospel has been a focal point for a great many Christian initiatives: worldwide missions, the authority of the church, the Trinity, the baptismal formula, and our security as believers. It is all here, and any skepticism over this unique conclusion to this gospel are but subjective. There is no evidence in any of our ancient manuscripts that do not contain this concluding appearance of Jesus in Galilee and this message of his to the disciples. Besides, this passage has had an enormous impact on our faith. In fact, few passages in the New Testament have done more to spur the worldwide vision of Christianity. There is then the command to baptize and make disciples, and perhaps the earliest voicing of the concept we now call the Trinity. Here is also the emerging contrast between Jesus, viewed as a wandering Jewish country preacher, traveling with a handful of men from village to village, and the soon phenomenal growth of the movement arising from the life and ministry of this man, all of which we find in the Acts of the Apostles, and the beginnings of the missionary effort that still continues. This unique and sudden impulse for a Jewish movement to become in time worldwide can only be attributed to this personal verbal command of the risen Lord, that they make disciples of all nations. So it is natural that we are to meet here not just what are now the 11 disciples who go to Galilee in obedience to the words of Jesus earlier, but a much larger group, what undoubtedly Paul would refer to simply as Jesus appearing to upwards of 500 at one time. This is the mountain which our text informs us was the site indicated or appointed by Jesus. This was his planned resurrection appearance to a large audience, a mountain obviously known to all of his followers. The exact mountain is unknown to us now, but one which is in the Greek identified as the mountain, where he told them to meet him. Such a site in the ruralness of Galilee would be the ideal place for the risen Christ to appear to all who had fondly followed his ministry. This then makes all the more understandable what follows. There are those who contend this appearance is just to the 11, But that makes little sense considering that they had already seen the risen Christ at least twice by this time. And given the incident with Thomas, there would be little room now on their part for any hesitation, let alone doubts. For now, at this time and place, we read that they first worshiped him, but there were those who hesitated, those who were uncertain. Many of our modern translations render the Greek word here, distasso, as doubting, but the word does not mean a settled or confirmed unbelief. Rather, it denotes a state of uncertainty. That is why I use the word hesitation. Clearly, for some, the idea of a bodily resurrection, just as it was earlier for Thomas, seems improbable, impossible, and would leave one unsure and full of questions. In their mind, perhaps, what has appeared before them is a ghost, a phantom. Some, perhaps most in attendance, are struggling with this whole unbelievable event. There stands Jesus. But is it really him? Well, yes, but naturally there is among some uncertainty. They hesitate in worshiping him. Just how is one to react, respond to this Jesus? Now he speaks to them. Surely in time the uncertainty will pass, fade away. For as Paul states, he, Jesus, appeared to more than 500 at one time, most of whom are still alive. Paul's implication is that in this larger gathering, there was no longer uncertainty, and those that are still alive could be counted on to collaborate that indeed Jesus was risen from the dead. Here Jesus appears as appointed and spoke to them all. What he had to say was not only unique but amazing, and indicated the incredible change that now was Jesus, a change that would now affect all of his disciples, even unto today. Now there is no longer the limitations of the incarnation, no longer the limitations of being emptied of the prerogative of the Godhead. For as he says, all authority is given. This is universal lordship. No limits, no divisions of authority. What was once hinted at is now boldly asserted. As Paul will claim, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Is it any wonder that Jesus will say, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth? God's purpose was conceived in Christ Jesus before time began, to be completed in the fullness of time, so that all things in heaven and on earth should be encompassed in this one man. He who once had no place to lay his head, who went about preaching and doing mighty signs and wonders, this man is now so much more. This is why throughout the New Testament we find this wrestling with human language to provide the clarification and understanding of who Jesus Christ is fully. Any hesitation or uncertainty at the beginning is understandable. People still hesitate, are uncertain, and to this Jesus commands an unusual mission. For those who believe this is the universal Lord, go, disciple all nations. This is a call not to merely secure nominal acceptance of some new message. No, they all are commanded to secure wholehearted commitment to the risen Lord, and this is to go to all the world. It will take some time for the new church to fully embrace and implement this command. We will find the early disciples are concentrated in Jerusalem. It will literally take persecution to spread Christianity. Stephen and then James, and we find the way as it was first identified by the disciples, spreading up the coast, and everywhere the message is proclaimed. This missionary thrust, its vitality and scope, is hard to imagine without this command by the risen Lord on this mountain. It is also a call beyond one nation. Indeed, the inclusion of Samaritans, even Gentiles, the events at Cornelius' house in Samaria, then Antioch and beyond will bring the command to its proper emphasis. But this is another message. But on this mount is born the worldwide effort of the Christian church. It is no suggestion, but a command. Here is Paul venturing across the Mediterranean world, Thomas to India, of Ethiopian Christians, Nestorians reaching China before the 4th century, of monks extending the faith to the furthest extent of the British Isles and Northern Europe, of Xavier, Francis, Taylor, and countless unnamed, unheralded men and women who have seen in those in some remote and inhospitable land as the lost and the dear unto the Lord. Here is also the command not only to make disciples, but to baptize. This too is not a suggestion. This rite of water baptism is too often not emphasized or even required in some churches, seen as a nuisance, or it is altered to make it convenient or easy. This was not so in the book of Acts. Baptism was a drastic step, requiring study and then commitment. This would identify one with what was a ridiculed, perhaps an illegal minority, one the authorities were endeavoring to eradicate by any means, even death. Baptism, the water, was identified with the Christian fellowship. One did not have one without the other. Now we may have no memory of our baptism at all, or have gone through the rite with no thought of what it means or why one is doing it. And there are others who are simply consumed with what is said, rather than rejoicing in a marvelous experience, what it means and how it is to be reflected in our lives. In the Church of Acts, it could mean your death. Such intensity would make the water an incredible experience. And even today, it should carry the imprint of this history, our fellowship, and our burial in Christ to be raised unto the newness of life in Him. It is an intensely personal commitment to what we believe in our worldwide communion as disciples. That is why Jesus will name all of those of the Godhead. For to go to all nations will mean discipling those who have no prior knowledge or belief in the God of Israel, nor of the Holy Spirit. Those who are not Jewish will need more than merely being baptized into Jesus Christ, but to understand the meaning of Yahweh, His covenant, the Spirit's work, as well as Jesus Christ. This verbalization of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is clearly very ancient, as old as the Christian church, for we have no evidence of early churches without water baptism and this Trinitarian formula. And all of this is impossible to explain without this clear command of the risen Lord Himself. For there is never any uncertainty about any of this in the early church. Discipling, water baptism, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yet never is the water an end all. For we are told to teach all that He commanded, as He says it, observe all that I have commanded you. We have been called to a unique and special way of life, one pleasing to God. Too often we are presented a Christianity that appears as soft and comfortable, that we are given a kind of guideline to a better life, more a suggestion rather than a command to be obedient. At least that is how too many believers live out their lives. Too many churches seem to be more improvement centers, exercises on how to be a better and happier person. That is all well and good. If you don't know how to make good decisions, if you suffer trauma and distress in life, if your self-esteem is low, if bad goes to worse, you may benefit from ministerial help. But if you know the Lord, adhere to His commandments, hear His word, believe this, most of your problems, bad decisions will melt away or never occur. Key to this life in Christ, walking in the Spirit, is to understand, in the words of C.S. Lewis, that if you want to be happy, don't choose Christianity. What he is saying in his own way is being a Christian is not meant to bring only happiness. There are those times of pain, suffering, even danger. It is instead a life of challenge, struggle, but also of deep meaning and intense satisfaction. If you want to be just happy, carefree, to just float through life as if it were just one great big amusement park, try something else. Grab anything that will fog and cloud your own view of reality. We are not promised endless laughter. The promise is, as he tells those presents, is, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This speaks of something far deeper, richer, more profound than just joy. He is with us. We will never lack his presence with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us, as promised at his birth. Here on the mountain is the fulfillment. He is God with us, not just for a time, but as he says, to the end of the age, to the very end of this present age, as long as needed, until time is no more. This conclusion to Matthew's narrative ends with this command of our Lord and ends with the assurance of our Lord's presence, a presence that is real and experienced even now by countless millions of believers. This is the marvel of our faith, and to the end speaks to that time of finalizing God's purpose, a time of serious and intense effort. We need to be aware of his presence until that end, to equip, guide, and steel us. Only in this way will we continue to disciple all nations, teaching and baptizing them. For in him we are able, in him we are victorious, and only when he is with us. O Lord, let us indeed embrace the truth that is our faith, that it is more than just good times. It is a great challenge, a struggle against the forces of darkness. It is a call to disciple, not just those across the globe, but those next door and down the street. Lord, let us indeed let this command of our Lord be real to us. For indeed we desire thy kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. All for your name and glory. Amen.
It is so reassuring to know our Lord has promised to always be with us, even to the close of the age. That promise, however, as we have learned, is accomplished with the call to go make disciples of all nations. This has always been the theme of the Wings of Healing Ministry and what Dr. Wyatt covers in his book, The Question of Discipleship. Just what is a disciple, and what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? This is a scriptural look at this important subject and should be in the hands of every Christian. So just write and ask for the book, The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. We also want to tell you how much we appreciate all of your prayers and ask that you would consider being a part of our outreach by supporting this ministry. An offering, large or small, is always appreciated. Join with us in getting the Word of God to a world that so needs to hear it. We are here as well to also intercede for your requests. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Well, this is our concluding program for this year and finishes our year-long journey through the gospel story. We as well rejoice with Janice, who shares how improved her health is, of Larry rejoicing in his new job beginning in the new year, and Marcy, who has at last sold the old house and found the perfect condo. And then there's Mary's son, who she reports has returned to the Lord. Just small things, unless it is your life. So please write, We are here for you. Dennis will give our addresses once more. But first, Kathleen Sullivan comes to close this Advent season singing one of her own carols, The First Lullaby. And please, I hope you will join us in the new year.
Soft as the sound of a sigh, born on the breath of the night, a murmur of love, the first lullaby for the Savior of the world. Heart in my heart, and light of my life, most precious gift of the Lord. The world awaits you, Emmanuel. But sleep now.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, any CDs of our programs are available if you will but write and ask. And this week, Dr. Wyatt wants you to have a copy of his insightful book, The Question of Discipleship. Now, here is laid out so clearly just what the call of Christ entails and what it means to be a disciple. Do write and ask for your copy of The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses once more are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.